Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he or that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Brothers and sisters, friends, today, if we're honest, few subjects or ideas in God's Word are likely to be as controversial as the idea of wives submitting to their own husbands, as we've just read in Ephesians chapter 5. Part of the problem, I think, is that we believe, and even in the church, we take in so much of the lies of the world, almost unconsciously, thinking that this is inherently harmful to our sisters, to our wives, thinking that it's somehow oppressive or mean-spirited. And of course, we need to be honest, it can be abused, and it sometimes is abused, and that is hateful and wrong, and we should be absolutely clear about that. And I want to say, at the beginning of this sermon, if you are a wife and you're being forced to sin by your husband, or being commanded in a very clear way to sin, or you find yourself in a physically dangerous position or emotionally manipulated in a wrong way, you need to come and speak to the elders. You need to, if necessary, get the police involved. We want to be serious about these things, and we want to be as far away from that which is sinful and wrong in this area as possible. But submission in the way that it's described here in the scriptures is not inherently harmful. It's actually beautiful. It's actually beautiful, and it leads to health and freedom and joy and peace. And that's what I want us to see tonight, that unlike what the world says, that it's oppressive and beating down women, that actually it is something that is wonderful and beautiful. Paul's basic argument here is that wives ought to submit to their husbands as they do to Christ, verse 22. In verse 23, he spells out the similarity between the relationship of wives and husbands and Christ and the church, which is not absolutely the same, but there are significant similarities. And then in verse 24, he restates his argument and adds, in everything. And there's a lot of qualifications that are needed there, and we'll get to that in the course of the sermon. But that's his basic argument. And the reason why it's really important that we understand this is that it means that the submission to Christ that we are all called to is really the foundation of the submission that a wife has to her husband. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to first start there. I want to start with the submission that we have unto Christ, and that applies to all of us here. Then I want to see the similarities that particularly apply into the husband and wife relationship, as a wife is called to submit to her husband. And then I want us to see the glory of this submission, and finally look at some of the barriers to it that exist. So my title is Wives Submit as to Christ. Wives Submit as to Christ. And my points are submission to Christ, submission to your husband, the glory of submission, and barriers to submission. Submission to Christ, submission to your husband, the glory of submission, and barriers to submission. What does it mean to submit? Well, it means to put oneself under the authority of another, to obey their lawful commands, to yield to them. And as Christians, we are under the authority of Christ. He is our Lord. We obey him. We yield to his will. He is our head. We read earlier in Ephesians months ago, and he, that is God the Father, put all things under his feet, that's Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. He is the head of the church. And this is the reason given here why we are to submit unto him, as the relationship between wives and husbands and Christ and the church is made analogous here. He is in the position of authority. It is his to take initiative, to set the agenda for us, to make the rules, to lead us, to instruct us by his word and spirit through his church. He is the king of his kingdom, the church. And submission is our response to his headship, and it incorporates all of our lives. It begins with a recognition of his authority. We recognize that Christ is our authority, that he is our sovereign. And we recognize that not just intellectually, but in a way that makes practical difference in our lives. More than that, it flows out of our hearts. It flows out of our hearts in love to him, in love for Christ. It flows out of knowing him as he presents himself in his word, and loving what we see, loving who he is. And then that love expresses itself in honor and respect for him. It expresses itself in trusting him, in obeying him and doing what he commands, and in shaping our lives around what he desires, living for his honor and glory and the advancement of his kingdom. Submission to Christ is therefore not an isolated thing in terms of just isolated incidents in our lives, but it is a lifestyle lived under his authority for his glory. And brothers and sisters, I want to say first and foremost, before we even get to wives and husbands, that this is absolutely fundamental to our lives as Christians. This is absolutely fundamental. We cannot be a Christian without this, if we will not submit ourselves unto Christ. More than that, this is the posture of holiness. This is how we live with our Lord. To live is Christ. It's not us who lives, but Christ who lives in us. It's just like the attitude that Christ had in his manhood when he said to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And if we will not relinquish control of our lives, we cannot be Christ. And to the extent that we seek to keep control of our lives, it will stunt our growth as Christian men or women. And that is a hard, hard lesson to learn. A lesson that we, I think, are learning each and every day of our lives. And probably each of us here have room to grow in that. But it is true that the posture of holiness is one of submission under Christ, and we must more and more be gladly relinquishing the control under him, that we would be those living under his authority. And remember, this is spiritual. It is a mark of being filled more and more with the Spirit. And yet it's hard. It's the opposite of everything we're being told today. You know, to express yourself, to follow your heart. You can be whatever you want to be. We are our own masters. But brothers and sisters, we were made to submit unto God. And we do that through submitting unto Jesus Christ, the mediator, our head. And this is why, then, when we submit unto Christ, it leads to true joy and peace and freedom and usefulness. The old hymn was right. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I cannot stress this enough. If we are seeking to grow in Christ, we must be those who are submitting unto him. It is absolutely crucial in our lives individually. It is crucial in our life as a congregation. It is crucial in the life of his church throughout the world. And so it is with this in mind that we then come, secondly, to consider the submission of wives unto their husbands. And perhaps this is the most challenging thought in all of the passage, where it says that they are to submit, you sisters are to submit as to the Lord. Then again in verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head, just as Christ is the head of the church. And then it says, just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives are to be for their husbands. This is an analogy being made between the submission of the church to Christ and the submission of wives unto their husbands. And it's stressed three times in these verses. Now, all of you wives are probably out there saying, wait a minute, my husband is in Christ. He is a flawed sinner. Immortal honors certainly don't rest on his head. So what in the world does this mean? Well, a few things we need to say. One is, of course, your husband's aren't Christ in the sense that they aren't divine, they aren't perfect, they make mistakes, they sometimes are unloving, and sometimes women are married to men who aren't even believers and use that authority wrongly. The authority that husbands have is a delegated authority. God is the ultimate authority. And all of us are responsible to him. And so a husband does not have the authority to command his wife to sin, to go against God's authority, the one who gives him authority in the home. As I said last week, this is not a matter of value. Christ, certainly as the God-man, does have more value than us, but that the analogy doesn't extend to wives and husbands. Husbands and wives have the same value before God. They're both made in the image of God. And this doesn't mean that wives are to be doormats. Your intelligence, your gifts, your graces, your counsel is to be used to the full extent that it can be in your role as a wife. And yet when we say all these things, there is an analogy here that the husband's headship in the home and in a marriage mirrors the headship of Christ over the church. And a wife's submission is to be in the mold of the church's submission unto Christ. And so this means, wives, that submission to Christ is first and foremost the foundation upon which you submit to your husbands and upon which your submission to your husbands is built. More than that, your submission to your husband is to be in the mold of your submission to Christ. It's not just to be intellectual, but it's to flow out of your love for your husband, to be expressed in your honor and respect for him. Verse 33 speaks in very strong terms in the original. It says in our Bibles that the wife is to see that she respects her husband. And that word that is there for respect is very strong in the original. It's also expressed in a trusting of him. Yes, it's expressed in obedience to his lawful commands, but in shaping your life around the direction that he is going, being sensitive to his preferences, making a habit of yielding to his leadership in your home, unless he is telling you to sin. And it says here that this submission is to be in everything. Now, this is a general statement. Of course, it doesn't, as I've said several times now, include a command to sin. But it is to be the general operating procedure of how you interact with your husband. It is also a seeking to honor your husband and increase his honor and the advancement of what he is seeking to do in the world for God's glory, hopefully. That's part of the reason why I read Proverbs 31, because you have here a woman who is using her gifts and her talents wonderfully to bring honor and glory to her husband as they together work in this world for God's glory. And all of this then clearly gives the lie to some popular ideas in the evangelical world. Submission is not just about breaking a tie, as in husband and wife sort of being a committee of two, and the husband gets to break the tie if there's a tie. Rather, it's a lifestyle, just as our submission unto Christ is a lifestyle. And actually, if it is a lifestyle, it means that there are very few times where there's actually ties to break. That actually it's a wonderful working hand in glove that often doesn't lead to you being at loggerheads with your husband. It also gives the lie to the idea that sort of the man is the head, but the woman is the neck, and she turns him whichever way she wants him to go. It's obviously not in the spirit of how we would speak about our submission unto Christ. But I want to stress here that this submission is not to the exclusion of you, my dear sisters. Remember what we read in the latter part of this passage, that you are one flesh with your husband. And so his glory is your glory too. You share in his glory, even as we do in Christ's glory. And so this submission is actually a positive thing. It's not about your husband ruling over you as in running over you, but it is in you running together as a couple under his leadership for a common goal and a common aim. It's an allying of your graces, of your intellect, of your skill under your husband's leadership and initiative. Your husband needs your counsel in the things that you're doing together. And in addition, he is to nourish and cherish you. And that's why I think Paul says here that Christ is not only the head of the church, but he is the savior of the body. And obviously, husbands don't justify their wives, they don't sanctify their or glorify their wives. But in a broad sense of that word save, husbands are to provide and protect and to nourish their wives. And as we saw last week, they have a part as a means in their sanctification. And so this submission is not all about you giving, 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 and him taking, 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 but it's about mutual responsibilities that work together for a common aim and goal. And therefore there are benefits for both of you in these things. Remember in all of this, my sisters, that your submission is founded on and grounded upon the submission that we all are called to unto Christ, and it is found in the Spirit. And that's where you must start. Start by seeking more and deeper and greater submission unto Christ. Cry out that the Spirit would fill you more and more unto that end. And toward your husband, from the heart, seek to submit unto him as a lifestyle, and see how it draws you closer together and causes you to run together for God's glory. So much more could be said on that, and perhaps I've raised more questions than I've answered. But I would really encourage you, wives, that if you have questions, seek out an older woman in the church. Seek out one of the elders' wives. Seek them out to ask these questions, to work through these things with them, that you would grow in these areas. This is the submission of a wife under her husband. But I'm aware that even in the midst of all these things, it can still be an extremely hard truth. And it can seem negative. And so for a moment, I just want to focus with you on the glory of submission. It is something that brings beauty and requires great strength. We've seen that submission is rooted in a fear of the Lord. And indeed in Proverbs 31, the husband praises his wife as one who fears the Lord. There we see that outward beauty is fading. It is worthless by itself. But the beauty that is precious to the Lord is the true beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, as we read in 1 Peter. And this goes along with God's design for womankind. Eve was made as a helper to Adam, and so it is in line with your design. And therefore, as you grow in these things, it brings out a beauty in you. And I know that these things are warped in our time and in our culture, but they are true. More think about the rest of the context of this passage, that part of your husband's job is to bring out the beauty of holiness in you. And so as you are submitting unto him, you are actually helping him in bringing out that beauty in you. So this submission is something that brings great beauty in you. And just as when we live in just submission to Christ, beauty and confidence and usefulness and freedom in our lives, so it is in marriage. The submission of a godly wife unto her husband is an immensely beautiful thing. It is a glorious thing, a thing that is priceless and beautiful. Submission is glorious in the beauty that it brings, but it also takes great strength. It's not for fading flowers or for the overly delicate. It's not a matter, as I've said, of being a doormat, but it takes great spiritual, emotional, and mental strength. Self-control is key to it, and this takes great strength. True, glorious, godly strength. And this is a glory to you, my dear sisters. Don't miss the glory of submission. Don't miss the beauty that it brings. Don't miss that this is not something of weakness, but it is actually something of strength. And yet, even in all these things, you may still be struggling. And so in my final point, I want to simply speak about several barriers that there can be to this wifely, godly submission and the truths of God's word that help to tear down those barriers. Of course, one is just simply our sinful flesh. Our sinful natures bridle against these things. And we need to be reminded that we are to kill our flesh. But also, sometimes there's fear. What will happen if I let go of this thing? What will happen if I trust my husband with various things? And sisters, you need to remember that God is in control, that you can entrust yourself unto God. There is pride, a focus on self, on my needs, my rights, my ideas, my plans. But you need to remember that you're a God's servant and he has given you to your husband as a helper. And there are feelings. We all have a tendency to let our feelings rise up and get in the way of what we are called to do. It's in part what the serpent used to play on Eve in the garden. But God's word is true, and we are called to self-control, to, yes, enjoy our feelings, yes, use them, but not to be controlled by them. And then there is the barrier that sometimes creeps in, that somehow there is a responsibility that you have for your husband or for the leadership of your family. And there is a great freedom in realizing that is his responsibility, that you are to respectfully express your opinions, give him your counsel, give him all the riches of what you have to offer, but then you can walk away and let him make the decisions he needs to make and trust the Lord. So I want to call you to examine your hearts, my sister, to see if there are these barriers or other barriers in your heart, and to remind yourself of these truths regularly. Perhaps talk again to an older woman who can help you work through these things, whether they be these barriers or others. I want the best for you according to God's word as sisters and mothers in the faith. Don't let these barriers keep you from the glory that God has for you. Well, we've seen this godly submission that, first of all, is rooted in all of our submissions to Christ, but has a particular analogy to the way that wives and interact with their husbands. We've seen that this is a glorious thing. We've seen that there are barriers to it. How do we apply these things? Well, first I would say to all of us, we must live lives of submission to Christ. This is absolutely crucial to our Christian life. And if you do not know Christ, you must come to Him and submit unto Him. Recognize that He is Lord. Recognize that you have no hope apart from Him. Cast yourself upon Him by faith and submit unto Him to live for Him. I also want to say something to you husbands. Don't rub these truths in your wife's face. This can be very hard. Lead her well, as we saw last week, but also be present with her, be present with your family, be involved, be tender with her. Cherish your wife. She needs your relationship like food, like you need her respect. We as men are often about the mission, about the job, about skills, but she needs you. And this is a wonderful way that you can encourage her in her submission. You know, I often sometimes find myself in a situation where sometimes Anna is feeling unwell, and everything that can be done is been done to help her. And I say something like, I wish I could do something to help. I feel for you, sweetie, but I wish I could do something to help. When in reality, she really doesn't want me to do anything. She just wants me to hold her. And brothers, sometimes your wife just wants you to be there for her. And as you say, yes, to lead her well, but to be present with her, you may be surprised just how much she wants to submit to you. Single men, are you looking for a woman who will follow you and submit to you in the way that we've seen in this passage? Single women, are you cultivating a gentle and quiet spirit and self-control in a willingness to be led by godly leaders in your life? Single women who are still in the home, are you interacting with your father in a way that will help you submit to your husband one day, Lord willing, if God provides that? And wives, sisters in the faith, remember that here is a command for you, and I want to give you several motivations. This is a part of your display of the gospel. In submitting to your husband, you are modeling for your children, for the world, what it looks like to submit to Christ, what our interaction with Christ looks like. This is a wonderful privilege. And also, I want to encourage you that submission encourages your husband. Ordinarily, it will galvanize him to take responsibility, to lead you, to love you tenderly. So motivate yourself with these things. Some brief suggestions on respecting your husband. Remember that men and women are very different. Women are primarily focused on relationship, and men on mission and project. So trust him. Even in little things, regularly, that communicates respect to him. Tell him regularly, show him by your actions that you look up to him, that you are proud of him. Sometimes he just needs to hear that. Look to him for guidance, even sometimes when you may think you don't need it. Praise his skills and what he does. And remember that actions mean more than words often to your man. Of course, in all of this, let me say again, this is not an invitation to abuse in any way. These things also, we need to remember, take time to undo sometimes the habits of a lifetime. And each couple will work out to some extent their own variations of this. But I want to finally say, pray. You know, in all of this, prayer is massive. Prayer that God would change us. And sometimes when you're struggling with something with your husband, praying for him, praying that God's will would be done. Prayer is massive in this submission. So pray. And also seek out godly mentors, other older women who will teach you to love your husband, to love your children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we pray that you would help us with these difficult truths, but Lord, that you would show us that here is great beauty, and I pray that you would take these words and that you would help us to see what is beyond them, and that you would help us not to be confined to any weakness of how we have heard them tonight, but that we would see the glory of your design in marriage. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.